Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. This is Monique Leray. We're coming live from San Francisco, from Lucasfilms. And I told you guys when we had first started this podcast, we're not just doing startup business talk. We're also talking about entertainment and films and things that are happening around. And I'm in San Francisco at the premiere of A World Worth Imagining. And it's a very interesting film. We're going to get the scoop. I'm actually here with a fabulous guest. He's working with the Venus Project. His name is Kesh Amor. Kesh, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Monique.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes. Thank you so much for doing this. And tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what your background is, and how you got involved.
Okay, perfect. I'm a farmer in Ventura County. And, you talked about, being an entrepreneur. I'm basically experimenting myself and making all the mistakes and having as much fun as I can. And I guess I was involved in learning about the Venus Project for like 7 years now. And to have this film come out is really amazing. It's really great, great things, because I want this to be as well known as possible, because a lot of people don't know what the capabilities we have right now.
That's right.
To answer your questions, or
but you know what? We've got so much time. We're going to cover it. So that's a great start. Cool. And so for all you listeners out there, it really is encouraging to be around people, entrepreneurs in the film industry today. And if you're out there with your project and you have a vision today, seeing everybody excited to have people come in, greeting friends they haven't seen in years to see this film, mm-hmm. It really shows that you can kind of just make it happen. Even if it's just, it's just an idea, concept, really starting up is just starting. I mean, wouldn't you find that to be true in your endeavors?
Yeah. So it's like a big thing is, just going for it, right?
That's it.
Yeah, just seeing and seeing what works, and where you find out what does work, and you just keep repeating what works. Yeah.
It's 1 + 1 = 2, 1 foot in front of the other, So tell us, let's go a little deeper. Tell us about the Venus Project and how you came about being involved.
Okay, perfect. All right, so the Venus Project, I encountered it watching some documentaries, mm-hmm. and over time I actually went to Venus, Florida a couple of times, and I just kept keeping tabs on it. And also too, I got really involved in learning about, Jacques and his work, and finding out just how a lot of the current systems that we live in right now could be updated with the current technology and science, because it seems like to me that now it seems like we're in ancient times compared to what we are actually capable of.
What it could be. So his name is the proper spelling, proper enunciation is Jacques Fresco?
Yes.
Okay, good. And he's a Frenchman or?
No, he's an American.
Okay.
He was born around the Great Depression. So he was 13. So he kind of there's the rules of the game were corrupt, because he saw all the factories. They had all the stuff. He saw the things in the stores, mm-hmm. and people didn't have the money to purchase it. So that's when he started asking, whoa, what's going on here? And I could definitely kind of go on with that, but it seems through his own experience, you and I we kind of go through life and seeing the flaws of items, but with him he kind mm-hmm. of investigated more and tried to find ways to go about getting rid of the problem and doing experiments to kind of see it's feasible.
So this is interesting. So and it says under his name, this will make something happen, this film, and that was him quoted from 2 years ago.
Right.
So can you give us some specific, with that? I know that, the film is premiering right now.
Yep.
Can you give me some specific examples of what he was talking about?
Okay. Yeah. So right now, we have the film by, the Soul, a documentary. So these guys, Evan and, he and Kip, mm-hmm. they both founded this organization, and they kind of figured out, like, you know, there's a lot of like problems that are being, you know, given to us. There's so many problems. There's a lot of issues going on, but these two entrepreneurs, you know, made this nonprofit called Soul Documentary, mm-hmm. and they showcased, you know, Jacques' last lecture. Jacques lived to like 101, and so in
that's a long life, by the way.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Right. Yeah, and to me, I like the idea that he kept working. He's all the way to the end of life, and I think that's really inspiring. That I don't want to retire. I want to keep doing what I love.
Well, that's right, because it's never really a job if you're passionate about it, right?
Exactly. So to answer your question, like,
yeah,
in my perspective, so these guys, they want to help out the Venus Project as much as possible. And what's a good way to help? Not only just like learning about the Venus Project, because that's one of the big ones, but they want to do it like, you know, with their money. So they're
economics.
Yeah,
we all need that.
Yeah, yeah. So they're matching donations. So they're matching up to $50,000.
Yeah, I see that here.
Yeah, right.
So they're saying that the co-founder Evan Hirsch has pledged $50,000 matching grant to boost the effort.
Yes, and so Jacques saying it's like this film, and of course, like the people behind it, and we could say, you know, that things could happen, but nobody could predict the future. But I think this is a great like win at the back to kind of show what the ideas are all about. Because what really drove me to really like these ideas, mm-hmm. are like that they challenge a lot of the established thinking.
Right, there's never enough, or rich get richer, the poor get poorer. Exactly. That old way of thinking.
Yeah, and it's basically like, so Jacques found it's a value system, not just like when you go online to thevenusproject.com, you'll see they look like really fancy buildings, or, you know, looks really high tech, you know, like futuristic. But he just doesn't build it just for it to look a certain way. It just structurally, it makes more sense. Because you save resources, and also too, it's better for the environment and for us. Just okay. let's say we have like our cities. It seems like we have to. It's all very scattered. We have to go from one place to another, mm-hmm. and it's not really centralized. There's like no center of anything. Mm-hmm. But with his city design, he made it so it's easier to, like, let's say if you want to go to the club, right? And then you just
love the club.
Yeah, right. And then let's say for some reason you want to have a discussion about something that you guys discovered, like something about relationships or something. So you want to go attend that like lecture or something like that.
Okay.
So there's like this the city would be designed like where there's belts. So like all those kind of things that human people want, they're interested in.
Okay.
Whether it's like music, art, or science, so those would be like in the same belt, and then the central location would be like the main transportation, and you don't have to travel from, like, you know, LA is like has all like the best entertainment and the best kind of like people, you know.
Yeah,
right,
media and production.
So they have all that. So and a lot of people from like around the surrounding areas, they flock to these areas.
Right.
So in what Jacques kind of found was that, hey, instead of having to drive so far,
yeah,
have it all just be in your community. So that's just like a very small little taste of kind of like his kind of thinking, because he doesn't just think of, oh, there's a problem and we need this. No, he designs a whole factory to make it happen. Like he has kind of designed how machines could build our buildings. Why are we using hammers and nails? Why are we using like these plumbers that are like, you know, doing hand tools right now? We have these machines and they're not being used because of, like, you know, the current, you know, people that are, it's like, to me, like, we don't like to paint anybody as good or bad.
Yeah.
To me, it's just not working.
Right. But there's the more efficient way to do things.
Exactly.
Well, I love that you share that, because I see it around LA too. And maybe the listeners, you guys can give me the feedback on Instagram on this or on Facebook. But you see these buildings and they are putting in the gym and they're putting in a Whole Foods and they're putting in, you know, kind of like New York style. You're getting everything within by your apartment or by the new, you know, the new developments,
right,
which is kind of nice, because you're right. Getting in the car and sitting in traffic, you know, that's less productive day.
Right,
you know, you
right.
could be doing more things with your time.
Definitely.
So what do you think after these people, how many people do you think are in there today?
Maybe 100.
Yeah, I think there's like 100 people here.
Something like that.
Yeah, so once they come out, we'll be at the end, but what do you think they're going to walk away with this today?
That's a good question.
I know, right?
Maybe a shock, a big shock. It depends on like who they are as a person, because sure. I guess the Venus Project, like I said, challenges a lot of ways of thinking, right?
Right.
So, I mean, hopefully they feel inspired. That's what a lot of people feel. They feel inspired, like they have a direction, like, holy, like, wow.
We can curse on here, by the way.
Okay.
I do it all the time.
All right. Yeah. So you could say like that people would find, hey, you know, we can get rid of war, poverty, or at least experiment to maybe to having a possibility to maybe not have to have your, you know, both parents have to work so hard and the kids being just raised by their fellow classmates or friends, right, or neighborhood kids.
Yeah.
Where parents would actually maybe have like a more leisure time with their kids. So with this Venus Project idea, it's kind of taking all the best ideas to kind of, you know, help people do what they're interested in. Because I think that's one of the biggest things that our school systems right now do.
Okay.
They kind of steal the creativity,
joy,
or
yeah,
like the discovery. Because when you're a little kid, you're always asking, what's this, or what's that?
Yeah.
And of course, there's no bad parents or good parents. It's just the situation that we arrive on. Like it's not like, oh, it's the parents' fault, or it's their fault. It's actually for millennia, you know, the fighting and kind of this kind of take advantage of somebody else, and also do capitalism kind of pushing that on people, and all this violence, all this stuff is from from scarcity. But when you have an abundance, then you don't have to steal.
Yeah,
because it would be already available.
There's enough to go around. Well, it's interesting, because on The Secret, I remember there were some guests on there, and they were speaking about this idea out there that, you know, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and there's not enough to go around.
Faster and faster now.
Yeah, and it is a mindset, because the universe is abundant, and we learn that, you know, that there is enough.
Mm-hmm.
So this challenge, I think this movie is going to push back on a lot of things. And I wonder if Jacques ran into some haters on his path, because he's pushing
against
the establishment,
right? He got
beat
up by the cops like a few times as a kid.
Tell me about that. What happened?
Yeah. But basically, like, he, I guess when he was just like a little kid. So he saw these.
How old was he, by the way, do you think, when this happened?
Let me try to remember exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Because what inspired me more,
mm-hmm,
actually was kind of seeing the corruption that the police had mm-hmm, as a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
He saw them as like, I guess they saw some homeless person off the street. They're like, oh man, we don't want to take this guy in our car. You know, he's probably gonna be smelling or whatever. So they tossed him off the bridge.
What?
When he was like 14 years old, and he's like, oh, fuck, there's a problem.
That's
here.
So horrible.
But actually, I think I misspoke. He didn't get beat up by the police. He just got beat up.
Okay.
So sorry if that made.
That's okay. But you're trying to recall it, because it's a lot of information.
Yeah.
So tell me, the Venus Project's goal immediately following the premiere of this movie. What's the immediate goal do you find for you guys?
Well, the goal is to match that, or even more for sure, to, in my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So to have like the Venus Project be funded, because one of the biggest things that they do, I visited Roxanne. She does like all the work herself. She answers the phone herself.
She's badass. I just met her.
Yeah. She's a co-founder of the Venus Project. So kind of, it's like a little kind of glimpse on how the outskirts of the city would look, where there'll be like near your house, and people would want to live separately.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, like, you know, I could tell like they need that money. They're not funded. So with this with this win at the back with this $50,000. And if people donate, and then with that, that's going to allow her to do more of like her work, so she doesn't have to stress out about.
Yes, we got to have money. This is actually a startup. Yeah, I mean, most films with some purpose behind it, as far as action, are going to need money.
Yeah, and they want to have a city. So an experiment, because we could talk all day, but if you have a physical referent, then you could kind of put it to test.
It's the test civilization, so to speak.
Or in a sense, test the systems for sure.
Nice.
Like within that, like you will see that the standard of living is higher, people are happier, because in the Venus Project, the idea is they try to push for a resource-based economy. So what that means is just that you manage the resources intelligently. So you don't ask, oh, how much money is going to cost to, help out the kids, or help out, kids have pencils or food. I heard some teachers are struggling to have the kids, like, you know, they're too big, they're kind of hungry, and how the hell they're going to concentrate to school.
That's right.
And so to me, I like the actual idea of kids becoming contributors at a very young age. Well, they don't have to wait to go to college and do all that.
Yeah.
These little kids can learn so quick, especially if they're given all the tools at a very young age. So with us, I think we'll facilitate in, like, let's say, like these model cities, that kids are going to become much more intelligent, because they already are with technology, right? Things are already advancing. These kids already know how to use these basic computers. But also too, on the flip side, because it is the capitalist system right now, it's very distracting. It's kind of keeping people like more separate. But if just how you have the technology to build an atom bomb, you have the technology and scientists to maybe lower the workday for parents and have parents go back to school to learn some of the things that they didn't pick up.
That's great.
For like whether it's like understanding where the behavior comes from, because that's one of the biggest things Jacques focused on. Where does our behavior come from? We don't learn that as little kids. Oh, like, you know, how do we control our own behavior? Like what are the things that influence us? So if for your listeners, if you're like interested, if you find out what are your biggest drivers, then you kind of see, oh, hey, how can I manipulate my own behavior to do what I want? Because I don't see myself as just this individual. I'm in Lakesh. I'm a farmer.
Yeah.
I'm an entrepreneur. I see myself as a part of a system.
Yeah.
To be here on air with you guys, this is a pleasure.
For us.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this, because I think you're right. And if you can find some of this, the behavior with the kids when they're younger, you can steer them if they're more entrepreneurial, or if they're looking to, you know, if they have interests in animals, or, you can kind of help them out. And you say that you're a farmer. So what are you farming?
Good. All right. Before I share that, you're inspired by what Jacques said.
Okay.
All right. Listeners, if you want to have your kids learn how to read or want to learn to read, because this is from what Jacques said, and I think it works.
Okay.
So he said, you don't teach them how to read. You read a really awesome story. And then right when it gets to the good part, then you say, oh, I'm tired. Oh, man, it's getting late,
or
something like that. Then they're like, oh, no, what happens next?
Yeah.
What happens next? And then so they learn that they could read themselves. So you have reasons for that. And one more before I talk about my farming.
Sure.
So also, too, like, let's say with kids, you want to get them interested in, like, let's say the animals, like you brought that up.
Yeah.
So in animals. So let's say you have just some books around, and started getting interested on, like, you know, looking at the animals and stuff like that. Somehow he figures out there's a zoo, and the kid's like, hey, can we go to the zoo, please? And he said, okay, yes, but a month from now. So they can have some anticipation, like, oh no, a whole month, that's such a long time. So they have anticipation to do that. And also too, when you're in the zoo, and then right when you see them at the height of their interest, then you say, I have to go to work. And then so they keep craving it.
That's really great.
And to me, that reminds me of those examples, just how parents say, don't go out with that boy. Don't go out with that girl.
Yeah.
Or don't hang out with those Christians. Don't hang out with those people.
It's incentive to.
And then they're like, oh, no, we were curious.
Right.
One more thing, too.
Yeah.
Sorry, going to the farming, because it is very.
It's juicy. You got your juices flowing now.
Yeah, because he mentioned he went to the one before these islands were kind of infiltrated by the Western world.
Okay.
So he went into this tribe when he was like very young. It was like after he did some military stuff. And by the way, he knew he could have made like, you know, bombs and stuff like that. But he said, oh, I can only design, you know, safety devices. So he kind of made a choice in the military.
Yes.
But when after that, he kind of went to on a vacation and he took a lot of stuff with him because he wanted to share with the natives. But he was out and about. And then he went back, and then these people were just handing out his stuff. And he's like, "Whoa, what are you guys doing? You have to," they're like, "You have too much." And he's like, "Well, it's like, why do I feel like I was going to give it to him anyways? Why do I feel like, you know, that, hey, that's my stuff?" And then, but also too, what was really interesting with the juicy part was like, they're all naked.
Oh,
They're all naked, but the guys didn't look at just like, you know, the butt or like the you know, the breast, you know, they looked at the women in their eyes. So a lot of our culture and society kind of, they dolly up on, you know, the ass and the tits,
right? Yeah. Okay.
Instead of like, you know, and that's how we sex sells.
Mm-hmm.
So in a society where, like, let's say kids, you know, they already see this and so see everybody and their mom. So there'll be the relationships, I think, are just going to be more deeper, I guess.
You sure. Could
say. More mature.
Yes.
And more relevant. But that was just like one of the ideas. I'll get back to that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I want to just say, I love that this is happening. I think it's a really good conversation to have at this time, because, you know, you're looking at, you know, culture around the U.S. and I think things can be improved.
Oh, definitely.
No matter where you sit.
Definitely.
And this isn't a political chat.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
No matter where you sit, you always want to be doing better. Right.
Definitely. Yeah.
And so I think we can definitely go up from where we are. And this is right on time, I think, for that conversation.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll start a business, is it? Because what's going to happen, we might find, if these, you know, trial civilizations, as I'm calling mm-hmm. them, or demo communities,
yes.
You're going to find probably an organic entrepreneurial.
We need a lot.
Them come from that and ideas.
A whole bunch of jobs.
Yeah, like a think tank.
So much, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that would be really great because, you know, look what like Uber and Lyft have done for people. Like
right.
the single parent or just any kind of parent
right.
who wants to have more time with their kid, they can drive, they can make money,
right.
they can go anywhere,
right.
you know, or the student or the, you know, the entrepreneur. So I really think more ideas like that are going to be on the rise because of this.
Perfect. And because you mentioned like, you know, entrepreneurs, right? I mean, like in my job, so I'm an organic farmer. So
yeah, tell us about that.
I call myself like a regenerative consultant, right?
Okay.
So I want to improve the soil. So I focus on healthy soil, so it make really healthy food.
Great.
Because that's I feel like, I'm getting paid to actually improve people's lives. So that this is it's coming down the pike. You know, that's what you mentioned.
Yeah.
More entrepreneurs. We need more kinds of jobs. So definitely in the science that's being neglected, which is behavioral science. Helping people adjust what they're to follow their interests and make sure to have the environment to facilitate it and have the want to want it, and of course have the tools to be able to do it.
And with the energy, you know, with better food, I mean, health is wealth. I mean, you can't beat that. So.
And I'm learning more and more how there's like doctors and scientists that have shown that these foods are actually competing with medicine.
Oh.
Which is crazy to see, like, you know, of course, like these doctors and scientists are not saying, don't just say, don't like totally discredit all their work, but saying that the relevance of healthy food could help out a lot of your ailments.
Of course.
And to me, just how like you're, you know, could kind of whatever you're eating kind of controls your behavior to an extent. Like I know I've found very great health benefits from eating healthy. Like I feel like crazy. Like it's very
got a lot of energy.
I guess when I feel good, I mean, it makes me understand how I want to help others feel good, because it sucks not feeling good, like having headache or feeling or not being able to do this. Of course, I still have like a long way to go.
Yeah,
but I think I'm on a good path, and the more that I keep experimenting on myself, the more I'll be able to. Proof to others, like, hey, you know, this is working out for me, and I can help you. But in my farming, so we're I farm in the McGrath family farm. So we're
like a say that again for us in case we didn't catch it.
Yeah, yeah, the McGrath Family Farm, and you could pick your own strawberries right there in Camarillo, in Ventura County, and they're like the best tasting.
They really are good out there.
And around March, and with that, I guess you could say we have different farms, different farmers farm in the acreage that the McGraths have been there for like 150 years. And they're like, I have like 1 acre. My friends have like 1 acre. Yeah, thank you. It's like unheard of to have just 1 acre, because before you just have to have 5 acres. But of course, not anybody could just get out, go in there and say, oh, could I have one? No, it's more like a relationship that we built with the farmer to kind of allow for this to happen, because we're also an educational farm. Just yesterday, we had a farm day. So so basically all the farms in our county opened up their farms to the public.
Wow.
And I did like 5 tours. Every tour is like 5 hours. And I showed them the farm, because I think talking here through through the radio is great, but also to be in there in person, I think I feel like it's much, you'll be able to see the sights and the smells and the tastes.
Let me ask you this, Kesh. Mm-hmm. What is you find with the guests that come through the farm? What are the main questions and the things that you're teaching people?
Okay, so just how I'm talking here, like, well, in some instances, it's just health. At least that's what I focused all day yesterday, mostly on health.
Okay.
Whether it's in the ground and also to on the, themselves and the environment, because we want to grow more farmers to create more spaces where people could visit more farms and learn what we're doing, because a lot of the farmers right now, they're like 6 years old or older. And so anything like that, and there's like no new farmers coming, kind of jumping in. So that means it's a dying industry.
Okay.
So we want to actually do the reverse. We want to make sure that we have a lot of people, and we need all the best and the brightest to do the farm work, because there's so many problems, but also too, like, we have so many solutions. Mm-hmm. That's one of the thing here with a soul documentary there. We want to focus on solutions. And that's what the Venus Project, to me, like, they've that's what I gravitated towards, is that they're more like solutions. Solution based. You could talk about problems all day, but if you don't have any solutions,
that's right.
Then we're just passing some noises together.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to come together and find out what would work for the better of everybody.
Yes, and definitely. Oh, there's a thing too. Functionally selfish.
Okay.
So that's something that I shared too. And what Jacques shares, and my friends, they kind
functionally what?
Functionally selfish.
Okay.
So that means whenever you work for work on yourself, and that helps everybody else, because the smarter you are, the healthier you are, it helps everybody else, because we're like a community, and now we're like a global community because the internet and so many advances. And that's what, that's one of the things too, that we have all these advanced tools, but for some reason, our culture is not taking full advantage of them.
Yeah. And you know, it's Abraham Hicks also speaks about being self full, you know, and Ianla Van Zandt also speaks to, they're all motivational and, you know, amazing speakers, but being self full, if what's in the cup is for me and what comes out of the cup is for everybody else.
Sweet. Yes, that's exactly.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Even
no
on a
way.
Plane, they say,
no way.
Put your air mask on for your air mask. Oxygen on first, and then you can help others.
Otherwise, you pass out. You can't help anybody out.
Love it. So
that reminds me, you need to take a vacation too.
I do, right? He can tell everybody. I've been hitting it hard, but it's the end of the year, and it kind of gets that way, you know. Yeah. So making time for your staycations and maybe I'll visit your farm.
Sweet.
Maybe just being out in nature and picking some strawberries might help.
Definitely. Well, you have to wait to March.
Absolutely. Well, just be in nature anyway. So now, give us some tips on farming. Like, if you're starting your own farm, mm-hmm. or you're starting your own grow, or whatever hydroponic situations you're doing, give us some tips.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So one of the things was some organic. So I mostly focus on the soil, so the plants could be very healthy. So I get like compost, and I'm experimenting with compost teas. But if, like, let's say if you're just starting out, and let's say you have like a backyard or some lot somewhere, and you want to make some cash, right?
Yeah.
So let's say you don't have any machinery, right? Let's say you have a rake, a pick, and a hula hoe. So you could start like your own business just with that and like seeds. So some things that I like that we do just because to get ahead of the weeds, because the weeds are just crazy, right?
Okay.
They just take over if you're not ahead of it.
Wild. So, they get wild.
Yeah. So you kind of focus on, like, let's say what your neighborhood would like. Yeah. So what you would want, like, you know, your immediate neighborhood, what they're interested in getting. So the main crops that you'll focus on are things that would sell, so you keep you alive. And for me, those tools I just mentioned, so you would take out the weeds with the hula hoe.
Okay.
You would poke the ground with the pitchfork.
Okay.
And then if you have like a nice like metal rake, then you could like break up the soil and then you could plant into that, and then add but before that you add compost, and then from that you could grow whatever your neighborhood would like, and then whatever would keep you and also too, if you just want to grow just for fun for yourself too, that's a different thing. But me, I want to grow so I could make myself, you know, some money, make myself a living.
Who doesn't love a little green from the green, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So now this is amazing. These tips are great. Where can people find you, social media wise, to get more tips?
Okay, cool. Well, like my Facebook is Inlakesh Amor, and that's on Facebook. But you're gonna check out the McGrath Family Farm. Just look it up on the internet.
Okay.
And
say that again for us, just in case we didn't hear.
Yeah, yeah. And the McGrath Family Farm.
The McGrath Family Farm in Ventura County.
Yep.
Right?
In Camarillo, yeah. And also, too, you could look up Baby Root Farm.
That's a cute name, Baby Root.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, are you – spell your name again for them on Instagram.
Okay. So Inlakeshamor.
Nice.
Yeah.
And, I'm so excited.
I want to tell you just –
Tell me more. Tell me more.
About Baby Root. So okay. Baby Root – it was a farm that I helped my friend start, and right now it looks really beautiful. It's like very like that's like one of the highlights. So it's kind of like a model of what I'm shaping my farm to be.
Nice.
And so then you guys could definitely come visit, and I'll be more than happy to show you guys around.
I love that. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
I think I just have a couple more questions about the film and the project as well.
Perfect.
Tell us where – so it looks like it's premiering, you guys, for everybody to see on the 11th.
Yes.
So we're getting the first look here up in San Francisco today.
A sneak peek, VIP, baby.
A little VIP at Lucasfilms. But if people want to see the film, do we know where it's showing on the 11th?
That's a good question. I think with on the 11th, you could buy it online.
Nice.
And it's like $3, I think.
Oh, I love that. Okay, yeah. Good. So all your outlets, Google Play, and all of it.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, I think it's gonna be. That's a good question.
You guys can Google it. You guys can Google the Venus Project. Right now, how long have you been involved with it?
Oh, all right. So with the Venus Project itself, I've been involved for the last couple years. But I've been into the ideas for like 7 years.
Well, it's funny how like your farming kind of fell in. Now this is falling into it, because will you be doing the demo community? Will you be doing farming for that?
Well, like if you mean by like I'm building up my skills to be in like a one of their experimental cities. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
That'll be great.
That's kind of cool to how that
would be,
things come together.
That would be amazing, yeah.
Put yourself out there, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
I love that. So I'm going to continue our chat, because we were hoping to see if we could get Gentry on, but I think he's a little bit busy. Gentry Stanley's also working on this project, and he's an old colleague of mine back in the day that we worked at MTV together.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about your goals for your farm. And what you see for the next year, what does it hold for you?
Perfect. So, like, one of my I guess goals is to make more farmers and educate people on that they could basically have immaculate health.
Immaculate health.
Yeah, you just need to work on it, and you have the tools to get it, and also too, like, when you get to know your farmer, you get to, especially here in I guess in California, you get to you get the opportunity to see who your farmers are to some extent.
Well, you can see that, like, and not to get off on a side note, but it's kind of important to this, I think. You can see the change in the climate affect the soil, right? Affect the farming.
Oh yeah, the fires. It's definitely not very advantageous, but
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for the most part.
Oh, keep talking. Yeah,
yeah.
Keep talking.
Yeah, for the most part, the idea to kind of create spaces. So we want to make sure that people kind of appreciate that the more you focus on the soil, mm-hmm. the more healthier the plants are. And also to kind of see that the extra price that it, when it's organic and it's local, that actually you're supporting our system, their new system, because the old system is basically you have a whole bunch of slaves and they work for the one guy. So with it, with our stuff, it's more like we're gonna have, even though we're still slaving away,
okay.
but like we're trying to do, instead of one guy managing 100 acres, we're going to try to do, 100 farmers do 1 acre each.
Okay.
And then we work cooperatively. At least that's the direction. And of course, anybody who's interested in that will definitely show you around and see if you could plug into
our education system. I love that, because farming is like the original co-op, you know,
right.
I think. Gentry, are you joining us today? Okay, good. Well, you stay right here. Do not leave us,
yeah,
okay?
Because sure.
I want to get Gentry dialed in on this. And like I was saying, you guys, Gentry and I are old colleagues from MTV. Say hello to my LA Talk Radio fans.
Hello, fans and awesome people out there. Man, it is so good to see
you. It's so good to see you, dude. It's been how long?
It's too long.
So when did we meet? We met at MTV.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you recall.
Well, you were casting, and I was a up and coming producer.
Yeah.
And then I think you won a couple of Emmys, and then the world just changed.
Oh, come on. Well, you know, Gentry and I, you know, we worked together when I was late 20s, and you know, trying to run a team with Angela. You know, and that's a fun team to try to do it at MTV. You know, there's beer in the fridge and there's date shows in the parking lot. So real quick, because I know that you're running around and you're doing this. Congratulations on this premiere. We're at Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
So tell me about this film and how you fell into this.
Sure. Well, basically, a couple of years ago, our team went out to Venus, Florida, and interviewed Jacques Fresco, the founder of the Venus Project, and basically interviewed him in his last interview while he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
And because of all the research and data that we were developing, because we were working on another project at the time,
okay.
realized that this was something we needed to do a documentary on. And that's why we're here at Lucasfilm today.
I love that.
Yeah.
You've got this is like the Mecca right here, man. I saw RTDT over there.
Yeah. He's like, what's up,
BB? I love it. Now, what's the goal? Are you going to take this up to all the film festivals? Or
I think right now people are going to be able to just download it from our website.
Nice.
You know, a portion of the proceeds is going to go towards the Venus Project to help them out.
Yeah.
And we're just super excited. Tomorrow's a big launch day at 11:11.
1:11.
Venus, Florida time.
Yeah.
Our movie goes live to the world on our website, souldocumentary.love.
I love that. So Kesh was just saying that there's a demo community that you guys are going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be a part of that?
I hope so.
That'll be badass.
Yeah, I'd love it.
What, are you going to be a sailor in there? It's going to be like a...
Maybe I'll teach some sailing lessons.
So great. So Gentry, what do you hope, what's the goal for this film and what do you immediately see coming from it?
Absolutely. The goal of this film is to basically change the world. And change the world.
That's not a small feat.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, it requires everybody. And all of us, we have to, it's not just one person. It's all of us. And when you look at governments and how they're all corrupt, and you look at, like, even you have the best people, but we all live in a fear-based and a scarcity-driven culture.
Mm-hmm. Where does that come from, do you think?
It comes from pre-programming and all of our ancestral stuff and all the people that, you know, came in before us. Like, we're just living in a culture.
Yeah.
That's, you know, in the words of Jacques, a primitive culture. We're not even civilized. You know, we have wars and prisons and poverty. We're still kind of like hanging out in the land of the, you know.
In the meantime. Yeah, we're in limbo. I agree. I think there's a conscious awakening that needs to, or upliftment that
Absolutely.
Can definitely happen.
Yeah.
And I was just saying, Kesh, no matter where you sit with politics, we can always go up from where we are.
Absolutely. Yeah,
well, I appreciate you coming over. I know you're a busy guy. He's got, you guys, you can't see him. He's got one hand on his radio. He's running around the theater, making sure people don't open the fire alarm.
Let's not do that.
Thank you so much. I love you too, darling. Yeah. Where can people find you on social media?
Yeah. Social media. You can go to Facebook, Soul Documentary. You go to Twitter, Soul Documentary. You go to the website, www.souldocumentary.love. Right on. So check that out. And you can also go to thevenusproject.com. So
chill. That's so chill. I love it.
For sure.
Cheers. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for doing this.
Oh,
I love it.
I love you so much.
You love me that much. I love you more. It's a love fest. Yeah, baby. This is the first of many, right?
I hope so.
All right. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, so let's get back to my farmer here. So, I think we're winding down the show, Kesh, but go ahead and give everybody your handles again and where they can find you. Go ahead and tell us again where we can find you.
Sure, cool. So you guys could find me in physically in Camarillo, California.
And if you want to hang out at the farm.
Yes. You guys are more than welcome to, for sure. And you could also find me through Facebook. So that's in the Kesh Amor. Let's see. I love
Instagram, Facebook.
What's the guy's name?
Gentry.
Gentry.
Yes.
Yeah. I just met him, so he seems like
he's great.
Like a really great guy. I like how he said, "Well, we're trying to do is change the world."
You just made it seem like you just easy, right? And maybe so it is.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Definitely. That's definitely a big thing too. Yeah, and I like to just plug that in again, like thevenusproject.com.
There you go, you guys. So if you want to meet with Kesh Amor, maybe it's a good school project or outing for a field trip. Teachers out there who want to, or educators out there that want to take a field trip day to a farm, you guys can definitely look him up. And I'm so excited to have met you today.
Yeah,
we'll take some photos and we'll post it up so everybody can see.
Sweet, sounds
Yay!
Good.
Yay! And so thank you guys for tuning in. I wanted to just plug and say thank you to all my sponsors yesterday at our pre-Soul Train Music Awards brand mixer. It was in Santa Monica. It was at the oldest building in Santa Monica called the Rap Saloon. And we're right next to Salesforce there. We'll be there again December 5th. We're doing the Startup Entrepreneur Lab Holiday Mixer. So that's a long thing to say, but I just want to give out a shout out to some of my sponsors and my brand partners for the event last night, okay? So guys, get your Instagrams out, get your Facebook and Twitters out, and follow these brands because they're starting up and they're creating businesses, all right? You wanted to say something real quick? Go ahead.
I was going to share man, I don't know. I should have said it before.
Okay.
I'm singing I have this little song too.
Oh, you do? Well, I got 2 minutes, so I have to plug my sponsors. But will you hold that song for me?
I will.
Okay, great. Okay, so we're going to want to say a big thank you to at Archery Jewelry, and it's with two L's, at the Wine Caterers. We wanted to say thank you to I Love Amaranth. Thank you to Michael Solberg Family Wines. Thank you to Save Our Jewels. Thank you to Purses of Hope. Thank you to Takimi Health. Again, thank you for Angela's Vista coming out. Love Works with Nicole. If you've got some love life questions, she can definitely help you with that. And I feel like I'm missing a few other brands. Oh, I have another one too that I'm missing. But you guys know who you are. Please forgive me that I forgot. It's been a long 48 hours, but I love you and I appreciate all your support. And if you want to find me, it's at Monique Lorray Stinson on Insta. Twitter, Monique Lorray Stinson, Facebook, Monique Lorray. And so I think that's it. You guys, what will you start up this week? Can't wait to find out. Last shout out at Altered Inspiration, Michelle over there at the production company. Terica, thank you so much for the location. Who else? Eclectic Exhale, thank you so much. Miss Chocolate Boss and Shop Angeles Vista, we've got them. You Be Unto Harambe. I hope I didn't butcher that. And everybody, Famed Diary Boutique, I think we've got it all. Have a good one.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Lorray, only on LA Talk Radio.